All right, make sure you're in fellowship as we hear Roman numeral 7, Doctrine of Faith, looking at it as it applies to the faith rest life, where we keep our sin nature overruled, don't try to crank things up in life. God has control of these things under the energy of the flesh, and to avoid human viewpoint in regards to circumstance and situation in life, keeping our eyes on the priorities and goals as God has set forth for us in the Scriptures, and that is to make the maturity adjustment, to apply Bible doctrine, and to honor and serve God in such capacity. And faith rest obviously looks at placing our confidence, our hope, that's confident expectation, into God's Word and His person to fulfill every iota, every aspect in regards to His plan for us and human history overall. So, subpoint B, Roman numeral 7, faith rest is a technique by which divine promises, that's doctrine in the soul, Bible doctrine in the soul, are applied to the experiences of daily life by the positive believer. And probably not many days, if any, goes by that we're not called upon to trust God, to put faith in Him. He's not going to test us beyond our endurance, beyond our capability. He provides us encouragement and comfort parallel with our testing. Obviously, if you're not in fellowship, applying doctrine, you'll probably be blind to that encouragement most often. But to be sensitive to it, part of your prayer life is for God to help you to be sensitive to His hand and His Word being fulfilled in your life, and the encouragement is designed to bring to us in that respect. So see, the believer under testing thinks of the Bible doctrine that applies to the situation at hand. That's why you learn it. Any given situation, how does doctrine apply in this vein? And again, if it compromises doctrine at any level, then you need to rethink your strategy or your goal or decision-making in that event. It has all the answers to life, whether people accept it, reject it, or not. Point C, continuing, he then applies the adjusted believer, then applies the divine viewpoint answer to the situation rather than the human viewpoint one. Human viewpoint may say, well, I need to leave Bible class, go make more money, but it's only going to be for a little while. Divine viewpoint, per James, says, you're an idiot. You don't even know what your life's going to be like tomorrow, let alone a year from now, in this regard, paraphrasing. I'll help James out here. NPR, most pressing responsibility, we call that most pressing responsibility for a purpose. It is indeed what we gravitate towards as positive volition. We gravitate towards knowing and understanding God and His plan and learning it and looking to it for our own support in life, our emotional stability, our good conscience, and all the maximum blessings that God indeed desires to give us as His children. So when we apply, point D, the believer applies at this level, putting things in God's hand, looking to doctrine rather than human viewpoint, isolating the sin nature, he is said to enter faith rest. He enters faith rest. There's no water test. The Exodus generation just freaked out. And it wasn't a light test. Like we said, 6 million people, all their livestock, they need water. I mean, that's the most essential thing to sustain life. And there they seem to be out in the wilderness where there was no water. But God can make water come out of rocks. food. And even when Moses said he's going to send you this wafer-like substance in the mornings, and you can gather it, and it's going to be completely nutritious, a well-balanced diet for you, etc. You know, and you you acquire it according to the numbers of people in your household, your tent, no more, no less. And sure enough, it showed up that morning, like he promised, and everybody goes out, manhu, what is it? Manna. See, what is it? It's kind of ironic that Christ calls himself the manna out of heaven, because most people go, what is it? Who is it? Who is this guy? Now, then the no meat test. They weren't satisfied with that. Well, we want meat. So he brings them quail. Just they don't have to have their shotgun on this one. Their spears aren't going to catch them. You know, they come in, they're able just to pick them up. And what do they do then? They engage in gluttony. I'm going to starve to death. You know how kids are. They come running in, I'm starving to death, and I'm eating that, I'm going to die, you know. Well, you're going to die if you don't shut up. But anyway. So, you know, misacclimation. Obviously, we all have weaknesses. We will stumble here and there, etc. But the main thing is we keep doctrine before us. We recognize it when we do stumble. We rebound that. And we don't let the human viewpoint come in and dominate us, hopefully, in anything, in any serious manner that obviously is going to interrupt our spiritual momentum. It's enough to lose SG3 at the Bema, but to crash and burn spiritually on the way and lose out on that level, that's a whole different story. So the faith rest of others is a source of encouragement to see others put their faith in God, put their faith in doctrine, and to apply it consistently and see how God delivers them in their life. That obviously encourages others around them. Romans 1:12. Paul to the church of Rome, for I long to see you, verse 11, in order that I may impart some spiritual gift to you, that you may be established, his spiritual gift, communication, the apostle of doctrine in this regards. And doctrine is what establishes people firm in regards to God's plan. In verse 12, that is, that I may be encouraged together with you, while among you, each of us by others' faith, both yours and mine. To know that God is not going to fail to keep us going. He's not going to fail our positive volition at any level. The only failure that comes about in regards to the human race is through their own negative volition. God does not fail the believer. So, to faith rest, to encourage one another in this vein, obviously through application of doctrine, people make application, and people that are in need and things of that nature, such as Living Grace, that's encouraging as they faith rest, how God's going to help them or whatever in their time of need. So the encouragement again comes from each other's faith. Combined together as a unit, as a local body of Christ. Colossians 1, 3, and 4, as we read that, source of encouragement, that Paul in his prayer, thanksgiving prayer, we give thanks to God, the Father of our Lord Jesus Christ, praying always for you, since we have heard of your faith in Christ Jesus and the love which you have for all the saints, both phase 1, phase 2, faith in view. And that encouraged Paul to know that you're not in this boat by yourself. Other believers are going through their own tests in life. Often similar, but obviously unique to the individual's life otherwise. Colossians 2:5. For even though I am absent in body, as Paul has not met these believers, Epaphras, he knows him, who seems to be the pastor, teacher, or the communicator for the church. Nevertheless, I am with you in spirit. Rejoice and see your good discipline and the stability of your faith in Christ. The regiment in regards to their pursuit of the truth of Bible doctrine and their continued faith in Christ, operating in union with Him experientially in this vein. To rejoice in spirit, even though like-minded positive believers may be separated by miles. In spirit, they're one and the same. You may not talk to someone for that's on doctrine that you've known for a long period of time, but you pick up the phone and it's just like yesterday. The doctrine's the same. You know, the fellowship is still there, hopefully. And that always brings about for a good conversation. 1 Thessalonians 3:7. Here, Paul, to this church, Timothy visited as Paul in his traveling itinerary could not be at all these churches at once, and he would send out his emissaries. Here, Timothy, his protege, pastor, teacher. He comes back, verse 6, now that Timothy has come to us from you and has brought us good news of your faith and love, and that you always think kindly of us, to have a good mental attitude in regards to one's communicator. Longing to see us, just as we also long to see you. The desire to have fellowship in that regard, that should be part of the natural course of relationship between positive believers, pastors to the congregation, etc., and with one another. For this reason, brothers, verse 7, in all our distress and affliction, we were comforted about you through our faith. Again, in his own unique testings, which he had plenty of those, he can draw upon that there are other believers that are concerned for him, that have his best interests in their hearts, to pray for him, and their continued perseverance in the faith is where he draws his own strength to also continue on. See. Then Philemon 5. The believer Philemon, verse 4, I thank my God always make mention of you in my prayers because I hear of your love, verse 5, and the faith which you have toward the Lord Jesus and towards all the saints. That's active faith in application of doctrine, what he believes, towards others, to know that the congregation as a whole has camaraderie. There is no discord and things of this nature, maintaining the integrity of, if you will, as the Scripture so calls it, the brotherhood of believers, which includes, obviously, the female saints. So, to faith rest, to encourage one another by our own applications. In Roman numeral 7, or 8, excuse me, to finish up the doctrine here, some concluding or additional observations concerning faith. A, the righteous shall live by faith in both a phase 1 and phase 2 context. Obviously, faith apart from one works phase 1, faith plus works phase 2. Old Testament, Habakkuk 2:4. Minor prophet. here the prophet Habakkuk. His responsibility as communicator to Israel to look to God for what he is to say, what he is to speak, to maintain the integrity of his office is in view here as the context. Verse 1 there, I will stand on my guard post and station myself on the rampart. Again, military motifs using here in regards to the ministry, the communication of doctrine. We are in a conflict. It's called an angelic conflict, see. And communicator has his individual post that he's responsible for to protect, be on the defense and look out for those under his charge. I will keep watch, verse 1 there, to see what he, God, will speak to me and how I may reply when I'm reproved. If he's out of line, etc. Then the Lord answered me and said, record the vision, inscribe it on tablets, that the one who reads it may run. Verse 3, for the vision is yet for the appointed time. It hastens towards the goal and will not fail. The prophecy in view. Though it tarries, wait for it, for it will certainly come. It will not delay in terms of the historical significance there in Israel at his point in time. Then compare, confer Galatians 3:11. Now, that no one is justified by the law before God is evident. To Paul, that's a foregone conclusion. You're justified apart from works. See, apart from the law means you don't have to keep the law. We're not under the law as believers in our dispensation. And the goal and the drive for us is for the righteous man will live by faith. We'll live by faith. Again, to wait upon God, to look to His Word, His revelation, to determine our actions in life. Hebrews 10:38. Again, the same principle, verse 35. Anybody give me 36? Therefore, do not throw away your confidence. What's your confidence? That's doctrine. Your belief in doctrine. That's where we put our hope. We put our hope in this book. Well, actually, we're putting our hope in God. We're putting our hope in the Word of God, which is putting our hope in the person of Jesus Christ, who is the Word. Put it all in his proper perspective. For you have need of endurance, verse 36, so that when you have done the will of God, you may receive what was promised. The will of God is his directive will and geographical will. His directive will is what he wants us to think, say, and do. His geographical will is where he wants us to be. He wants you to be where sound doctrine is being communicated so you can assimilate it and apply it in all that you think, say, and do in your regards to your life. Otherwise, you fall under his permissive will. God recognizing your freedom of volition. And you can choose for or against God. He's a perfect gentleman. He's not going to force you to believe anything you don't want to believe. See? For yet, verse 37, in a very little while, he who is coming will come and will not delay. And that refers back to Habakkuk chapter 2. But my righteous one will live by faith, verse 38. And if he shrinks back, my soul has no pleasure in him. His soul characterizes his essence, his will, his sovereign will. God has will. See, God has will. And people often don't understand the difference between his sovereign directive will or his directive will versus his permissive will. He also has overruling will. He overrules evil at any level necessary to maintain the integrity of his plan as it pertains to human history, nations, corporate level, as well as individually, as well as population and believers. B, the adjusted believer is said to, quote, keep the faith. Whereas the believer in reversionism, one who chooses to run unbridled under their sin nature, forsaking their NPR, otherwise not overruling their sin nature in certain areas of their life, not dealing with it appropriately with rebound, and etc. Whereas the believer in reversionism, point two, point B, is said to suffer shipwreck with regard to his faith. 2 Timothy 4:7. Paul, the adjusted believer, ending the Christian course, his confidence, I have fought the good fight, I have finished the course, I have kept the faith. To keep the faith, it looks at passive faith, actively speaking. And he obviously is in, it was in line and will receive a wreath, the prize, for his positive endeavors towards God in his life. And then confer 1 Timothy 1:19, 1 Timothy. His exhortation to Timothy, the pastor teacher, under his tutelage, if you will. This charge or command I entrust to you, Timothy, my son or child, term and endearment, in accordance with the prophecies previously made concerning you, that by then you may fight the good fight, the very thing that Paul accomplished in his life. He desires that for Timothy. And in his role as a pastor teacher, to set himself apart from the examples, the negative examples that otherwise have occurred around them. And verse 20, among these are, or verse 19, keeping faith in a good conscience, the doctrine in a good conscience. When you apply doctrine in your life, you assimilate doctrine, your natural conscience that we're all given in regards to our lives and all men possess, it becomes called the good conscience. It becomes highly sensitized, highly discerning, because it looks at all doctrine. That it determines right and wrong rather than just the natural aspects of normal good and evil. Keeping faith in good conscience, which some have repudiated, rejected, and suffered. They refuse to accept it. They've suffered shipwreck, a spiritual shipwreck, concerning their faith. And he gives a couple of examples. In the course of naming names, among these are Hymenaeus and Alexander, whom I have delivered over to Satan so they may be taught not to blaspheme. So much for the funny mentality. Oh, you need to get in there and re-save them. Now, Paul, now I'm turning them over to Satan. We'll let God deal with it. You want to cling to and embrace the world, the human viewpoint of the world, and the STA goals in life? Well, fine, go out there and you can suffer the consequences. See? Again, that's a far cry from what you hear a lot in regards to the world of denominationalism and how we are to respond. See, without faith it is impossible to please God. That's Hebrews 11:6. Without faith it is impossible to please God, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Those who seek him personifies positive volition. The positive believer is seeking God. And it's a true seeking. You're seeking God, wanting to know Him based on who He is, His terms and conditions. Not the pseudo-seeker that goes in with the attitude that they already know better. I'll take God based on my terms and conditions. See? With my viewpoint. All these things. D, it is only through faith that we can preserve our souls from shame at the Bema. The believer's works are going to be judged at the Bema seat. They're going to, and you will either be rewarded or what you've done in life will be burned up, if you will, under the doctrine of SG3, divine good production, etc. And unfortunately, most believers, when they are before Jesus Christ at the Bema, which those who refuse to assemble themselves together in time as one assembly, they will not be able to refuse. And their works are going to be judged. And the idea is to not experience shame. John talks about it in his epistle, Hebrews 10:39. But we are not of those who shrink back to destruction, but those who have faith in preserving of the soul. To capitulate spiritually, realign your life back up like the unbeliever's life, the running an umbrella under sin nature, under human viewpoint. The preservation of the soul looks at this adornment regards to SG3 that will come upon the believer priest who is faithful to the truth of doctrine otherwise. And then, as I mentioned, John also mentions not to see shame. Understand, believers are going to be in resurrection body at the reward ceremony at the Bema when Christ returns at the rapture. It occurs immediately after that. And in resurrection body, believers are going to be highly embarrassed. Especially when with the entire realm of doctrine incorporated into their new brain computer, their new spiritual body that God designs for them, known as a resurrection body, recognizing that God gave them all the grace and everything necessary. All they had to do is plug in with doctrine and believe. See, and they didn't have to experience this. So, you know, it's just, what side of the coin are we going to be on? Personally, I experienced enough shame in life, I don't want to have to do it at the Bema. And obviously, we're all going to have human good burn up. But for those who persevere and continue to drive forward and grow up spiritually, make a maturity adjustment, that shame will not be part of their experience. So then we have spiritual heroes that are examples of faith. Hebrews 11, we call that chapter of believing heroes. You got examples going throughout it. Now faith is assurance of things hoped for, the conviction of things not seen, verse 1. For by it, faith, the men of old gained approval. It's always been the same. It turns to either you believe or you don't. By faith we understand the ages were prepared by the Word of God. It's all set out. It is destiny. And the issue is what choice you're going to make, what side of the coin you're going to land on or operate under in terms of the history that's going to unfold previously prepared by God. So that what is seen was not made out of things which are visible. Verse 4, by faith Abel offered to God a better sacrifice than Cain, through which he obtained the testimony that he was righteous, as it exampled the doctrinal of Christ's sacrifice on the cross, animal sacrifice, where Cain didn't. God testified about his gifts, and through faith, though he is dead, he still speaks. He's recorded in Scripture for all eternity, for posterity. He is an example for all to hear. By faith, Enoch was taken up so that he should not see death, as he pictured and symbolized resurrection. And he was not found because God took him up, for he obtained the witness that before his being taken up, he was pleasing to God. He's hanging up in his physical body. Obviously, God separated his soul and human spirit from his body somewhere along the way. His soul went to Sheol, paradise, at that point in time. 6, and without faith it is impossible to please him. For he who overcomes of God must believe that he is, and is a rewarder of those who seek him. And by faith, Noah, being warned by God about things not yet seen, the flood. Nobody had ever seen a thunderstorm at this point in time in history. Yet God told him, I'm going to wipe this planet clean. I'm going to clean it with water. In reverence, prepared an ark for the deliverance of his household, by which he condemned the world and became an heir of the righteousness which is according to faith. By faith, Abraham, when he was called, verse 8, obeyed by going out to a place which he was to receive for an inheritance. And he went out not knowing where he was going, as we dealt with that in Genesis. By faith, he lived as an alien in the land of promise, verse 9, as in a foreign land, dwelling in tents with Isaac and Jacob, fellow heirs of the same promise. None of these got to go to the promised land, but yet they believed it. For he is looking for the city which has foundations. His architect and builder is God. That's the heavenly kingdom. SG3 is in his mind. All the glory that would come to him for his faithfulness to God's plan for his life. And 11, by faith, even Sarah herself received the ability to conceive, even though she was sexually dead at that point in time, along with Abraham. Even beyond the proper time of life, since she considered him faithful who had promised. 12, therefore also there was born of one man, in him as good as dead at that, as many descendants as stars of heaven. As we said, Abraham also was sexually dead, in number and innumerable as the sand which is by the seashore. The Hebrew race came from his loins. He and Sarah, their DNA, God created a new race. 13, all these died in faith. That's active faith. They believed to the end. Without receiving the promises, but having seen them and having welcomed them from a distance and confessed that they were strangers and exiles on the earth. For those who say such things make it clear that they are seeking a country of their own. We wait for our ultimate glory, our ultimate reward in our phase 3. Just 15, indeed, if they had been thinking of that country for which they went out, they would have had an opportunity to return. The Christian life is grabbing a hold of the plow handle and not looking back. You start looking back like the Exodus. Then the next thing you know, your SCA is going to have a stranglehold on you. Oh, it was such a better life before. All right. You forgot that you were enslaved. You forgot you were enslaved. You forgot the enslavement of your SCA back then and how it had a stranglehold on you and kept you away from doctrine and all these other things. See? Verse 16, but as it is, they desire a better country, that is a heavenly one. Therefore, God is not ashamed to be called their God, for he has prepared the city for them. By faith, Abraham, verse 17, when he was tested, offered up Isaac, and he had received the promises for suffering, was offering up his only or uniquely begotten son, only begotten son. Not uniquely, his only begotten son then. 18, it was he to whom it was said, and Isaac, your descendants will be called. Verse 19, he considered that God is able to raise men even from the dead, from which he also received him back as a type, taking doctrine and applying it to the situation for his own encouragement and faith rest in his own test. Verse 20, by faith Isaac blessed Jacob and Esau, even regarding things to come, the Edomites, Esau. By faith Jacob, as he was dying, blessed each of the sons of Joseph and worshipped, leaning on top of his staff. 22, by faith Joseph, when he was dying, made mention of the Exodus of the sons of Israel and gave orders concerning his bones. Take my sarcophagus and take me to the land of promise. You're going to end up there. 23, by faith Moses, when he was born, was hid for 3 months by his parents because they saw he was a beautiful child. They were not afraid of the king's edict. Faith rests on their part. We obviously hear mostly about Moses, but his parents had it together. His parents had it together, see. By faith, Moses, verse 24, when he grown up, became great, refused to be called the son of Pharaoh's daughter, recognizing his place and position in God's plan, the nation Israel. rather than choosing rather to endure ill treatment, verse 25, with the people of God than enjoy the passing pleasures of sin, treating your body severely, buffeting your body, denying the STA, considering the reproach of Christ, verse 26, greater riches than the treasures of Egypt. And we know what those riches are based on Joseph. For he was looking to the reward. That's the eternal reward. SG3. Same doctrine, no matter what time of history. By faith he left Egypt, verse 27, not fearing the wrath of the king, for he endured to seeing him who is unseen. 28, by faith he kept the Passover and the sprinkling of the blood so that he who destroyed the firstborn might not touch them. 29, by faith they passed through the Red Sea as though they were passing through dry land, and the Egyptians, when they attempted it, were drowned. Verse 30, by faith the walls of Jericho fell down after they had been encircled for 7 days. By faith, verse 31, Rahab the whore did not perish along with those who were disobedient, as she had welcomed the spies in peace. In a time of war, it's totally legitimate to lie, if that's what it takes to confound the enemy. And she became in the line of Christ. Rahab, the whore. You never know where politicization will come from. Never know. 32, and here she's recorded for all eternity in such a fashion too. And you think she's going to be embarrassed about it at the moment or in eternity? No. She'll be wearing a wreath. yeah, that's what I did. That was part of my profession. No, it wasn't Las Vegas. It was some other place in the Middle East. But anyway, and what more shall I say? Verse 32, for time will fail me of the believers who have accomplished it. It's not impossible. Tell of Gideon, Barak, Samson, Jephthah, and David, and Samuel and the prophets. In verse 33, who by faith conquered kingdoms, performed acts of righteousness, obtained promises, shut the mouths of lions, Daniel, quenched the power of fire, verse 34, escaped the edge of the sword, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, escaped the edge of the sword, from weakness were made strong, became mighty in war, put foreign armies to flight, the conquest. 35 women received back their dead by a resurrection, as God would intercede on behalf of certain ones. And others were tortured, not accepting their release in order that they might attain what? A better resurrection. What's a better resurrection? That's all the SG3 and the wreath potential that is set before us to rule over nations with Jesus Christ in the eternal kingdom. See, that's a better resurrection. And others experienced mockings, verse 36, as public, and scourgings, yes, also chains and imprisonment, political prisoners for their faith. They were stoned, executed. They were sawn in two. What we're going to do? We're going to stick a needle in their arm so they don't feel nothing. They were tempted. They were put to death. That's murder. With the sword. They went about in sheepskins and goatskins, being destitute, afflicted, ill-treated, based on societal persecution. And being kicked out of society and things of that nature. 38, they weren't derelicts, but they were just forced into this type of environment because of their situation. And men of who, in verse 38, this is a great parenthesis. Men of whom the world was not worthy. You can't judge based on appearance. You have to critique and judge based on one's attitude towards the truth of Bible doctrine and their lives and fulfilling God's plan for their life or not. The world is not even worthy of them. Understand that. You stay positive. The world is not worthy of you. God's kingdom is. Wandering in deserts, mountains, and caves and holes in the ground. And all these having gained approval through their faith, this active faith, did not receive what was promised. Waiting on their SG3, they set their sights forward to their eternal life niche. 1 Timothy 4:12. Let no one look down on your youthfulness, Timothy, but rather In speech, conduct, love, faith, and purity, show yourselves an example of those who believe. Timothy is a just believer. Compare 2 Timothy 3:10. You follow my teaching, Timothy. Conduct, purpose, faith, patience, love, perseverance, persecutions and sufferings, all part of the package. This just happened to me at Antioch, at Iconium and Lystra. What persecutions I endured, Paul says. And now then, all the Lord, out of them all, the Lord delivered me. God was for him, in spite of the world and their antagonism towards him. Revelation 13:10. In the tribulational period, as a warning is, if anyone has an ear, let him hear, that may hear the words of doctrine in this period in time in the history of the world. If anyone is destined for captivity, to captivity he goes. Verse 10. If anyone kills with the sword he must be killed. Here's the perseverance and the faith of the saints. They will put themselves and hold to the faith no matter what the repercussions and consequences might be in regards to government, the new world order. We are therefore to imitate the faith of positive believers. That's who we are to look to imitate, and not the punk rock bands and all this other BS that's out there in the world that people want to idolize. Hebrews 6:12. You may not be sluggish, but imitators of those who through faith and patience, that's inhale and exhale faith, leave it and then be patient in application, inherit the promises. And then Hebrews 13:7. Remember those who led you, who spoke the word of God to you, to consider the result of their conduct, imitate their faith. So they're criticizing people who are positive to doctrine, who are faithful to doctrine, and trying to take advantage of their weaknesses. Once you try to imitate them in regards to their loyalty and commitment, in regards to their NPR, their application of their spiritual gifts, their dedication to applying the doctrine and holding to it, no matter what kind of attacks verbally they may face from others otherwise. And people taking issues and things of that nature. And we close it with here two verses, Habakkuk again 2:4. Behold, as for the proud one, his soul is not right within him, but the righteous will live by his faith. And then Hebrews 11:6 again, without faith it is impossible to please him, for he who comes to God must believe that he is, and that he is a rewarder of those who seek him. Alright, we'll pick this up then back in our text when Ann and I get back from our break. You guys enjoy your break. Keep us in your prayers as we do not cease in our prayers for you in this regard. Father, again, thank you for the truth of your word. We ask God, the Holy Spirit, to enlighten us to these things. In Jesus' name, amen.